Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Get your fucking popcorn ready, Dreadheads. Episode 82, and we're going to the damn movies. That's right. We haven't gone to the movies quite some time. I'm going to just be Dreads. I got Mrs. Dreads here. How you doing, Mrs. Dreads?
I'm good.
Awesome. And we have horror's very own Siskel. He's our Siskel. He's our Ebert. It is Dom, the movie man. We got Dom joining us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Awesome.
I'm doing much better.
Yeah. Just give it some time. We got at least one shit movie to talk about, at least in my opinion. Maybe some of you guys will have a difference of opinions. Before we get into that, you can check out this episode, 82, and all the ones prior to this over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. We got a lot of new members. Yep. Over there. We've surpassed. I just couldn't get the fucking word out. Mm-hmm. We surpassed 900 patients, and there's our resident fucking dog here in the insane asylum. There she is. So I just want to let everyone know, you know, if you're just listening to the podcast for the first time, it would be Dreads with no A. And you can check us out over there, nightoflivingdreads.com. We're over there on Facebook. You can listen to the podcast on Stitcher, on Spotify, and, of course, at the website. So let's jump right into this. We got three movies. For those who are not familiar on how it is when we go to the movies, we grab some coffee, some popcorn, some good meds of the green leafy kind. And we sit down and we discuss three movies that each of us picked a movie, and it was our jobs individually to watch all three movies. Mrs. Dreads, she picked Session 9 from 2001, and then we're going to hear from Dom here. He picked Hell House LLC from 2015, getting closer to 2020. And of course, as things got closer to 2020, everything got worse. So of course, my movie, The Legend of Halloween Jack, 2018. So we're gonna start out with Mrs. Dreads, Session 9. You want to give us a little rundown of what's this all about? It does feature a mental asylum, an abandoned mental asylum. Mm-hmm. So that's one cool thing. You want to give us a rundown on this? What's this shit all about?
Season 9. It's
Session.
I don't know why I said season.
Because you're watching that 70s show. Probably season 9.
Yeah, they did take it off Netflix, which is shitty. But okay. Session 9, 2001, American psychological horror film. It was directed by Brad Anderson.
David Caruso.
Yeah, David Caruso.
For those
Caruso
who are familiar with it, what was that? What's the name of that? NCIS?
I think it's NCIS that he's in.
Is that what it is, Dom? It was like the Miami version of that? Is that what that is?
They don't allow me access to television.
Well, you've been a bad boy.
I can't help in that area.
Oh, that's funny.
I've been in here for a long time.
So,
but
as David Caruso in it, yeah. He's one of the main characters there.
Yeah, he's one of the ones that most people would recognize. He's played in other stuff too, just mm-hmm. can't think.
And he always has the same personality.
Yeah.
It seems like he can't act any other way. He acts the same as a cop.
No,
he's
like
a good
him.
Actor, but he has that same, the way he talks, some
it's
actors.
It's very authoritative.
It is, and he's very condescending. You know, when he talks, I think. But anyway, I dig him as an actor. I think he did a great job in this movie.
Yeah, it's based around an asbestos abatement crew, which they're going in there to clean all the asbestos out of this building. And like you said, the mental asylum.
Yeah.
Things start getting a little heated between them.
Yeah, they,
it's like the tension or something.
The tension starts rising. I don't know if it was like tension that was brought about since they got there, because things didn't seem that way in you know, when they first got there. It's almost like, well, maybe this was some shit building up in individual characters that brought about tension in more than one. It's kind of how I saw it.
And it's funny because you have the name of the movie is Session 9, and the only real thing that you see about anything with a session is the one guy, Mike. He is listening to these videos, these audio
reel
recordings.
Reel to reel tapes, yeah.
Right. Of these sessions with this this woman named Mary.
Mary Hollis.
And she's got dissociative.
Multiple personalities.
Yeah, multiple personality disorder.
Well, which ones does she have with the princess? There was Billy.
Billy.
I thought there was one more.
Simon.
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 Yeah.
Simon. Yep.
And then wasn't there something about another one? Didn't they say something about another one?
I just remember Billy.
I remember Billy, Princess. Simon, and Princess.
Simon was, because you didn't hear. They kept asking about Simon.
Yeah, and they kept saying he was sleeping.
You heard of Simon later on towards the end, I think that was Simon.
But I think it's Gordy. He's the one who kind of runs the crew.
Yeah.
And he got him this job to go in there and clean it up, and it's four guys, and just weird stuff starts happening. I mean, it kind of throws you off track on what's going on, because you don't know. Through the whole movie, you don't know who's guilty of anything, or if it's a...
Is it all paranormal?
Or what's going on? I mean, I like the movie.
Because
I thought it was a good movie.
You know, Mike comes across these, these tapes, these sessions, these recorded sessions. I'm guessing with a therapist or a doctor. I can't remember which one.
He was
one.
A doctor.
Okay, and he sounded a lot like David Caruso. In fact, I think if David Caruso was trying to play the character of Phil or Philip, and then also play another character, just a recording.
Right.
He didn't do a very good job at disguising his voice, because I was like, wait a minute, is that going to be part of the twist?
But,
you know.
And some really weird stuff starts happening, like the guy, Hank, he found in the wall. Well, he had found a couple coins, and then he found it in the wall.
Buried treasure, y'all.
Yeah. It kind of was like a buried treasure. Yeah. He pulled it out. There was a shit ton of coins. And
go ahead.
There was a loose brick, or he had found some coins, and he scratched them out, and he removed a couple bricks, and he found all this silver and rings and stuff. And then it showed what he had actually done was made his way from the backside into, like, I guess, a crematorium.
Right.
So that wasn't really like buried treasure. That was like, this is what people had when they died. And he was gathering up all their jewelry. Like, I'm going to steal all these, you know, dead people.
Mm.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty wild. I liked that part.
Yeah. No, interesting. Cause I honestly didn't catch on to it like that.
Cause the way it showed out, it zoomed out into another room, and you could see that the ovens were there and the fucking, the morgue tables and shit were all set up. That's how they left that scene. So I thought that's what was being implied by that.
It makes perfect sense now. I'm going to have to go back and maybe rewatch this one, cause this is definitely, I think, worthy of a rewatch. But, go ahead, Jody. I mean, there's some really weird things happening. Hank, because he's the one that, you know, finds all these coins and jewelry and things like that in this crematorium you were talking about, Dom. And then he all of a sudden, it kind of, you know, a few scenes later, it cuts to the rest of the guys up on top of the roof. And, you know, they were going to call this girl, Amy? Was that her name? Was it Amy? And Philip. He's like, no, here, give me. I know the number.
Right.
And he's on there, and he's like, what? Huh? What?
Because Hank didn't show up for work.
Yeah. And he's like, what? What's going on? What? Are you serious, Bubba? You know, just all surprised. And then come to find out, he tells the rest of the group, well, Hank has, apparently, come into, a little bit of wealth or whatnot. You know, he would always play the scratch-off tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And, he came into a little bit of, wealth to say he didn't need us anymore. And he's on his way down to Florida
or Miami
or something. Yeah. And everybody's like, what? Are you fucking kidding? What? Now we're a guy short. They went from saying that they could get this job done in 3 weeks all the way down to 2 weeks. And mm-hmm. then finally it went to 1 week. And if they could get it done in 1 week, they each got a $10,000 fucking bonus from like the city or something.
Right.
For, cleaning it up in that short amount of time. And yeah, so now all of a sudden they're fucking down a guy. And then all of a sudden you see Gordy start to act weird. It's like he has flashbacks of sitting across the street from his house and, seeing his wife, which you come to find out the backstory involved there. But things just start getting weird. I mean, even Mike, which I liked Mike's character. I kind of dug his character, the attorney guy, the lawyer guy, and talking about, giving a fucking lobotomy with an ice pick and mm-hmm. how to do it. And the only thing that it, bothers, you can see on the outside is a bruised eye.
Yeah.
Wow. That was pretty cool there. Would you think about Mike's character or that character, Mike, Dom?
That was actually, I think, the character I enjoyed the most in the film. Like, yeah, because he kind of seemed like he got the idea that things weren't going right. And, he even started talking like, hey, I'm going to go back to law school.
Exactly.
Yeah, he figured it out. Like, yeah.
And he was the one, as we mentioned, that, got a hold of these tapes, found these tapes. Right around the same time, I think, that Hank finds this, little doorway into, this crematorium, finds all the, the rings and the coins and whatnot. So, and Mike finds these tapes, and they're all about, like you said, Mary Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, one session. They're trying to pull out. They're trying to find out what happened that Christmas Eve night or Christmas Day, evening. Or was it Christmas Eve?
I think it was just Christmas, right?
It was Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
His dad was like the original, his dad was involved in the case or something, he said originally, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew the backstory on her.
Right.
Like, she was supposed to have been brutally raped when she was like 10 by her entire family during a satanic ritual that involved child sacrifice. They killed a baby and mm-hmm. like the mother consumed the blood and the rest of the family ate the flesh and stuff. Like this whole wild story. And I guess they went ahead, they pressed charges against the parents and then they found out they decided it was all bullshit because she'd never been raped.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she went to a medical
she was
exam.
A virgin. His dad was he was an attorney, lawyer there on the case when it originally happened. And Mike was going to go to law school. I guess he put out his mind, decided, hey, I'd rather clean old buildings full of asbestos instead of going to law school. Oh, God. Right. Sounds pretty equivalent to some of the choices I've made in my fucking life. Jesus.
Right.
It's a state mental hospital, as we mentioned, and things just get kind of fucking, again, weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
Hank appears in the building. David Caruso, Philip, his character, Philip, he seems to, get a little crazy and, paranoid. And he's up on top of the roof or sitting in his car, and he's rolled up a big fat one. He's getting high.
That was the shittiest rolling job I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. It was. It was pretty bad. But, yeah, he seems to be getting all lit, and then he gets all paranoid. Because he knows this shit about Gordy, that Gordy's confided in him that, okay, he spilled water. There was an incident where, Gordy goes home, and he brings his wife roses and things like that. And then she's got, a big pot of boiling water or something on the mm-hmm. stove, and something that happened to where the boiling water falls down and hits his leg, and him in a fit of rage, maybe she tried, because you don't see this happening. You hear it and you kind of visualize it for yourself that, that she's coming over. Oh my God, you okay? She gets close, him we've all been angry and you just want to hit something, or hurt yourself, and you get angry because of the pain. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me? You guys are really making me look bad. You know they're going to give me extra doses of medication.
Probably.
I have the same kind of problems. Like, pain makes me want to, like...
hit something.
Yeah, swing at things. Yeah.
So I kind of see, Gordy's little, backstory as far as his wife goes, like that. She came, tried to comfort him. He just burnt the living piss out of his leg with some scalding, boiling fucking water. And then he holds up and slaps her. And I guess they split up. And
he's having a hard time.
He's having a hard time dealing with that. Still trying to, make some fucking money. This big job and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, before, I guess he's pissed jobs away. Now he seems serious. He seems focused, but he still has these fucking problems. And this fucking, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there was, they're trying to imply something, because it just seemed like all of a sudden all of these people's past started to, kind of come about in a sense, Gordy's past with his wife. And then he just gets crazier and crazier to the point where, he does a, Jack Torrance type shit, and just starts fucking hacking and killing every fucking
body. Well, if you think about it, everything that happened throughout the movie, he had done. He's the one, he had done it, just nobody knew. Because right.
They know now.
Hank, he gave him a lobotomy and... Right.
And at first thought, you're like, oh, God, is it Mike? Is it the quiet one? Is the one that you really
thought it was either...
I thought it was Mike, because he described it perfectly with Gordy's little nephew there. I thought that was pretty funny. He takes the chopsticks, and he's scaring the shit out of this kid.
It got to a point where I almost wondered if all these characters were a personality of Gordon's.
Yes.
Like they all almost represented, because I thought, like, with these tapes, like, I didn't quite, like, it seemed like there was something almost being implied. I don't know, like, it was weird, because it's a psychological movie. It's not a gore film. It's not a slasher film or something like it. It's a movie that makes you think, like, and at first you kind of get this thought of, like, oh, you're watching, like, a supernatural film. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, no, it's not a supernatural film. It's, okay, someone's lost their fucking mind. And then, like, you start to wonder, like, that's where I was, like, are all these people just, like, fractured personalities from Gordon's mind because he really killed his wife and baby and he can't accept it?
Yeah, it at the end, when Gordon was having his flashbacks, it went through that scene of that's what he did. He had killed her and the baby. And
interesting. Yeah. So quite possibly he was there by himself.
That's what I almost was thinking, because, like, I kind of didn't understand. I don't know. There was things where it was like how Mike described the lobotomy.
Right.
But, like, Gordon's the one who went and did it.
Right.
Like, it was like people knew things that happened, but, like, the only person that should have known it was Gordon. Like, right. It was, so I don't know. That was kind of like, it's one of them things where that was just my interpretation of it, where I started to wonder. I think they're all real, but I started to wonder, like, are they real, or is that why this guy's listening? Like, we see Mike listening to these conversations, and this girl's going through therapy, and she's got three different personalities. Is what I'm trying to be told here is that this Mike guy or Gordon guy's actually got, like, five personalities, and he's just kind of, like, went off the deep end, and now he's inside this place, like, hiding from the law because he killed his wife and baby, and he's going through all this stuff in his head with people that were friends in his life, but, like, maybe they're not. Maybe they're just the influences around him that led him to the moment where he lost it and killed his family. But then again, maybe I'm looking too far into it.
I don't know. That's a pretty good, because I honestly entertain the fact of, could this have been all a dream that he was having?
Because What's his name? Philip kept telling him,
wake up, Gordon, wake up, Gordon. I'm like, what does that even fucking mean? You know, I mean, I don't get that. And then all of a sudden, you know, that this Philip, you know, that he's not there. Now all of a sudden he's gone.
Right. He was just gone. Yeah. Cause he didn't, like, nothing happened to him.
They showed his body.
I think they did show his body, yeah. But you didn't see what happened to him. Like, you know, it was kind of implied what happened to Gordon's nephew or maybe this other personality. And this killing spree of all these people was him taking out all of these different personalities.
It almost sounds like how a completely different aspect, but it showed like the same similarities as the movie Identity.
Hmm. I don't know if I've seen that one all the way through.
Really?
I'm unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, I know of the movie, but I don't think that's one.
Got John Cusack in it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. Yeah,
but it's the same with he. It may be a movie I'll pick, so I'm not going to give anything away with it. But it kind of has the same premise. The more that I think about it, because I was kind of confused about this one at first. I mean, I thought it was a good movie, but I was kind of like, hmm.
Well, let's see how good and well received this movie is to us. How many scores you giving this one out of 5? A total, a maximum, the perfect score would be 15. So how many are you giving it?
I'd say I give it 3.
You give it 3 scores?
Yeah, it kept me captivated. It kept me wanting to watch it.
I'm actually going to go one up on you. I'm going to give this one 4 skulls. I thought the storyline was really good, and then the Dom that you've brought into this, you know, is he just there by himself? Because, like you say, he's hiding out from the law because he just took out his wife and his kids. I mean,
who's to say that asylum isn't like his mind?
No, exactly. There you go. And because that a movie can, you know, do that for me and give me a different, you know, multiple outlooks.
You think about it, because you hear the doctor and he's going over the case of Mary Hobbs, and you said that he sounds like David, well, Philip in the movie. Who's to say that Philip wasn't his doctor and he was actually in the hospital? That Philip wasn't his doctor and that's why he kept telling him, wake up, Gordon, wake up.
Interesting. Yeah, so I think for that aspect alone, the interesting part of it, the multiple personality feature of it, it being in a state hospital, Danvers State Hospital in Danvers, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But this was actually, is it this movie? No. That's your movie coming up next. That was there in Pennsylvania. Yeah, 4 skulls for me. We got a total of 7 skulls. What are you giving this one, Dom?
I'm going to give this one 3 skulls. I enjoyed it. It's not, you know, like it's not one that I would have, like, picked, but I'm glad that I saw it, like that one of those kind of movies. So, it's not something I regret seeing or anything. I would definitely say, you know, it's something worth viewing at least once in your life. It's a good 3, solid 3. Yeah.
Sure. Cool. So we got a total of 10.
Yeah.
10 skulls out of 15. Not too bad. Not too shabby. I think it's worth a watch anyway.
I think so too.
So Dom, you graced us with the 2015 found footage film, Hell House, LLC. I'd seen this a while back, and I really dug it. I really dug the premise. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this one, brother?
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. I had no idea what I was getting into. I picked this. It's, like you said, a found footage. It's the story of these people run a haunted house, and are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, something weird happened on my phone. I didn't make sure we didn't lose it. But so they go to set in they go to create their haunted house inside this old motel. And as they get there and they begin doing stuff, you start to find out the history of this motel. Like, one of the women who comes to play the role of, or audition for a role of an actor in it, says, you know, like, there's rumors that the person who owned it before hung himself here. And they're like, what? And the guy who bought it's like, no, it's just rumors, you know, blah, blah. He's trying to downplay all this.
Yeah.
And so Well, I lost my train of thought because something sounds weird with my phone. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. But you know, the guy who was heading the project, you know, the one that was downplaying it, you almost got a sense that right from the beginning he knew something about it.
He definitely knew something, and she went on to talk about how the rumor was like people who stayed there like didn't last through the night; they would run out. So you get the idea. Right. That this place has already got this history. And then you find out that when they got there, that down in the basement, someone had already gone about painting pentagrams and other occult symbols on the wall, like black magic rituals were taking place down there. Because right. They said that we didn't have to touch the basement. So you have this whole premise of they bought this motel or hotel to open up their haunted house. And, it's already got a bad history that maybe the place is already haunted.
Right.
So as they begin to put their props in and everything, there is some cool, like, not many movies get to me. And this movie had a few parts that, like, I don't know, I enjoyed it because, like, it kind of, like, spooked me. Like, oh, yeah. That's creepy. I like that. Thank you. I don't get that much in horror. One of them is one of the first things
the
we
clown.
See happen in the movie. Yes. Guy is walking through the house filming everything through the hotel there, and he's talking to the guy who owns it, and he's like, hey, where's this other guy at? And he's like, I don't know, he's out working somewhere. So he goes and he walks through the kitchen, and he gets over by the basement steps, and he sees him. Well, he sees a clown standing there in a clown suit, and he thinks it's the guy he's looking for, and he's like, what are you looking at? So he looks down the steps, and you can see they're just looking down the steps, and, like, nothing's down there. And he comes back, and he's like, man, you're weird or something. And, like, you can see that the clown head has turned and is looking at him now.
Yeah.
And he goes walking back in the other room to tell the other guy, like, hey, I found him. And he walks in, and both guys are there. And he freaks out, and he runs back to the spot, and the clown isn't there. The clown's sitting down in the basement where it's been propped up with two other clowns the whole time, and there's no one in the suit. And, like, stuff like that is just creepy. Like, they wake up and the clown's in a different place and stuff. And there's, like, that I like a lot. So the whole premise is they start to realize that there's some bad stuff happening here. Like, this is not right. And they're all trying to blame each other. And one of the guys goes missing. And then they find him. But, like, he just sleeps now. Like, he don't do nothing. And, like, no one seems concerned about this. That part bothers me.
Because
they just, like, you know what I mean? But they find the one actress or whatever. She's standing there staring at the wall talking to nothing.
Right.
And the one guy who had his... you know, his wit about him was like, dude, we need to get out of here. Like, yes, you're right. You need to
Absolutely.
Leave. Like,
yes.
And they won't, and you don't find out why, because the one guy goes and has a talk with him, like, hey, this is why we can't leave. And I think it's because they were pretty much like they're broke, right? That's, did they ever elaborate what that whole conversation in the field was over?
I don't believe so, but I always got the feeling that they were on very much of a shoestring budget and that they've already dumped so much of their money into this getting it started, because they only had, what, like 40-some fucking days, 45 days or something, I think, from the beginning.
Something.
Yeah. Before they even got there, they only had, like, you know, a month and a half. So I think they had dumped so much of their funds into it that, yes, it was pretty much, we have to stay. We have to make some of this back. We have to make it the best goddamn, you know, haunted house we can.
Because we have nothing.
We're fucking hit, you know. And so I kind of got that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got. And so they finally get down to opening day. And, of course, opening day is when everything goes wrong. And a lot of people, I guess, are murdered. And the whole, like, the police, everybody covers up what happens. Like, nobody will talk about what happens.
Right.
So this woman wants to find out, this journalist. And that's pretty much what's going on in the story. She goes to interview this one woman, shows up, the sole survivor, they're told, shows up, and she provides them with all the video footage from the different cameras, the cameras that were set up in the house and everything. It was like, here, everything's on this tape. She goes, but don't you really want to go to the place and take a look for yourself?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Which, yeah, of course, as a journalist, you do.
Yeah.
But in a horror film, you don't. So she goes, and you end up finding out, like, the ending here was, that was the only part that I had a little, like, at first I was like, cool. And then I was like, I don't know about the ending. But overall, the film itself, like, I pleasantly surprised me, had a lot of great moments in it, a lot of scares, I guess you could call them. Like, I don't get scared, so I don't know, but other people might call them scares. Mm-hmm. But things that made you think and kind of freaked you out, and I enjoyed that a lot in this film.
Oh, yeah, you definitely, I got anyway, you know, there was a few jump scares there that I enjoy. And then, you know, just again, the as you mentioned, you know, the creepy element, like, get creeped out, like, wow, that was, you know, that was fucking good right there. All right, yeah, thanks for creeping me out right there, kind of thing.
Right?
You
yeah.
know, it did have, you know, a few of those moments, which I thoroughly appreciated, as you did. Jody, what did you like about this movie, or did you like it at all?
I liked the movie.
You said it sounded a lot like...
I like those kind of movies, yeah. It kind of reminded me of Blair Witch.
It did have... Well, that was also, you know, a found footage type movie. And
there are certain parts... As cheesy as people think that the Blair Witch was the Blair Witch Project...
There's some pretty creepy
pretty creepy parts of that movie that kind of make you think, ooh.
I kind of got a flashback of the Blair Witch when you seen Sarah Havel, I believe is her name, Havel. She, where they find her down in the basement. You brought it up at staring at the wall. I mean just fucking
right.
Staring there. And then, you know, the one guy, the redhead, I can't think of his name offhand. You know, he goes to, you know, try to comfort her. You know, a little bit,
right.
Like, come on, Sarah, we got to get the hell out of here. And then she, like, fucking freaks out like she was in some kind of a fucking trance. And that, you know, she was experiencing something that these other two guys, it was Mac, that was his name, Mac. And Paul, I think, was the guy running around with the camera all the time.
Yeah.
The mustache.
Right.
Yeah, so Mac
right.
and Paul's down there with Sarah, and, yeah, she starts freaking out. So it did have those, it did have a lot of that element in it. And it, overall, I mean, it was an entertaining, you know, fucking 2 hours or hour and a half. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was, again, one of those movies that I didn't walk away going, shh, I'll never get that fucking time back.
Right.
You know, you kind of felt the same, Mrs.
Yeah.
Dredge?
Yeah. I'd watch it again.
And
those would be ones that I'll go out and buy.
And see, I thought that you had maybe heard of this, Dom. So I was, like, pleasantly surprised when you picked it. I'm like, for sure he has seen this or heard of this before. And that was not the case.
No, this was new for me. I didn't know anything about this going into it. I read the premise and I was like, oh, it sounds interesting. And one of two things happens, like, when you have found footage films, they either turn out excellent and I love them, or it's like I can't watch it. Like, there seems to be, like, there's no balance in between them. This one's done real good. This one's kind of almost, it is found footage, but it's almost done almost in a documentary kind of way.
Yes.
Where they tell you stuff, and then they show you stuff, and they tell you, and then they show, like, that kind of, they have that going on. So it's almost a documentary style presentation. But yeah, having no idea what I actually picked out, I thought it was, I was like, newer, you know how I am. I'm winning myself over. The 2000s are winning me over, because I'm like, I don't think good horror films were made in the 2000s.
Right.
But sometimes they are. We found and watched a lot of good ones, and I have to, like, I can't make that statement anymore, because this falls in that category. This is a good modern horror film.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they do have a Hell House LLC 2, the Abaddon Hotel. That's the name of that one. That one was released exclusively on Shudder, which is actually a pretty good service.
Uh-huh.
We've had Shudder for, you know, almost 2 years now. On September 20th, 2018. So that's probably still over there. I'm pretty sure if I go to Shudder, it's probably still there. So, and then a second sequel, Hell House LLC 3, Lake of Fire, was released September 2019. So just about a year ago, sometime.
I'll give them a watch.
So,
I'll watch those.
Yeah.
This one was good. So I don't expect, you know, any sequel. Rarely does a sequel, it does happen,
surpass,
but rarely does a sequel, or even meet the original. You know, they may even be on the same level. Usually you're taking a step down, but no, it has happened. There are ones that are on par or better. So
I can't say that I like you.
We should do an episode. Go ahead.
Of all three of them? Because I've seen all three, and they're not bad, but I can't say that they're as good as the original.
Yeah.
I figured.
Right. Yeah. That's well. Let's end up.
But we could do.
Yeah, that would. That
we could
would,
do a show
fun.
One time where we debate like which movie, which horror film series has a part two or later that is as good or better than the original film.
That would be a good
I think
one.
We could do that.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? You know, right off the top of my head, you want to know what I'd say?
What?
The Wrong Turn series. I think
and
some.
You win.
I think some of the later Wrong Turns
are
2, 3. I wasn't a big fan of the one Henry Rollins was in, although it did have some really good kills where he's doing the reality fucking show. Wasn't too big on that one, but I think the second one was that. Was that one the second one, or was that the third one?
Which one?
I think that's the third one, or whatever, with Henry Rollins.
Yeah, with Henry
that's
Rollins.
That's what I'm taking.
So
it's a later one.
The
yeah.
second one I thought was actually better than the first one, or at least right up there with, you weren't disappointed.
Right.
Yeah, that would be mine. But anyway, let's
Let's
hand out some fucking skulls if you ain't got anything you want to add to this. I love this. I love
I'm
this
good.
Fucking movie.
I love this film. I will watch this again. That for sure. I'm going to give this 4.5 skulls.
Nice. There you go. 4.5. All right. So, starting out strong. No, that was. I think that is very much worthy of 4.5. Mrs. Dreds, what are you going to give this?
I'll give that one 4 skulls.
You 4 skulls.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're sticking right with the 4s. I already had it in my head when you said that you were picking this movie. You know, it was going to be no less than 4 skulls, but I think it very much deserves a 4.5 skulls as well. So 13 out of 15 skulls is what Hell House gets. So very much a recommended flick that everybody should check out if you haven't already. And, of course, you know, the sequels, they got 2 and 3 out. So that would be that'd be well worth the watch, I think. I think I've seen all three of them. I just cannot, you know, fucking remember. All right, now we have this. now we got my fucking pick. We have the story of a misunderstood man by the name of Jack Carnes. Jack Carnes is focused on and accused of being a serial killer in this 2018 classic. I got to build it up because it's such shit. The Legend of Halloween Jack. Now, I won't say it's complete shit. It had potential. But there's
it had a lot of potential.
A lot of potential, but it fell quite short on a lot of different
way
areas.
Short.
Yeah.
Way short.
Way short.
Way short.
we're certainly going to elaborate on those here very soon. The basic premise of this movie is there have been two murders. One was a sister, daughter, obviously. One of the, you know, characters is a young boy. It was his sister that was murdered. And then there was a young boy, which happens to be, you know, the younger brother of one of the other characters, one of the other main characters. It was his younger brother. So you kind of get, you know, I'm thinking right off the rip, oh, man, this actually could be, you know, pretty decent, because I think one of the first opening scenes was, you know, that pan across the car and you see two bodies bloody from the head and shit in the car. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to start out like that. Okay, maybe this won't be too bad. Mm-mm. I was disappointed. The basic premise is that this guy that is accused of being this serial killer murderer, as I mentioned, it was Jack Carnes, goes to trial. He's defending himself. They wouldn't allow any of the media. They did allow some of the family members that I just mentioned, the brother. I think the one guy was a cop, one of the arresting officers, I think, that was there. The older brother and another gentleman. And they're allowed to stand up on this, like, balcony and kind of, like, watch the proceeding, which is basically just the prosecutor, Jack Carnes, and the judge. Well, the judge looks over his paperwork. He, asks Jack, do you have any evidence you want to, put forth? Blah, blah, blah. Nope, not at this moment. Entering a plea of not guilty. And it turns out that there was a little technicality that enabled Jack to be able to walk free. That technicality was all the searches that ultimately probably convicted him is kind of what I got, that they knew he, they had enough evidence from the searches to pin this on Jack. But yet the searches were illegal. His rights weren't read. The searches were illegal. He had to get away. They had to pretty much walk. It was done. So he gets the walk. Of course, this completely outrages, the brother. It was a father. It was his son.
Yeah,
a little boy or something. And so they're outraged. They decide they're gonna do, a little mob justice. And they go to his little cabin and they knock him the fuck out. They hang him up on this, like, on this cross, like he's a fucking scarecrow. And they shoot him with guns that can only be described as cap guns. You remember the little, the little rolls of, the paper that have the little dots of fucking, the gunpowder on it? That's what these guns sound like. It's like pop, 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 pop. It's what in the fucking hell is going on here, for one? Okay, and this is where the movie just, I was like, oh, God, this is not going to be an enjoyable fucking watch from any standpoint. And that's all, that's all I had to see was the first 30 minutes of this fucking movie, if that.
Yep.
You hear the really bad sound effects, these cap guns that these guys are, shooting off, and then you see some of the worst CGI blood I've ever seen in my life. Now, Zombieland, I love that movie, 1 and 2. That has some pretty good CGI fucking blood scenes. Okay.
At least don't disappear.
Right. This blood, they shot him, I don't know how many times. It was, what, 4 or 5 of them? And
I did like 7, 8, 9, yeah.
Easy.
They were all capping at one point. They all took a shot individually. And then they all started shooting together. They shot him. They fucking shot him a lot.
And you just see him twitching up on, his little cross there, his little scarecrow perch. And you see this, like, really bad CGI mist, red mist. And all of a sudden, all the gunfire stops. The mist just dissipates in the air. It's just poof, it's gone. And then he slumps. It was some of the, and then here's the kicker. You don't see any fucking bullet holes.
Nothing.
You don't see any drips of blood. You just got lit up.
And this is a 2018 movie.
Yeah.
And the people that just put like 20 slugs in them, like, not one of them is like, hey, why isn't that dude just like, why isn't blood pouring profusely out of his body? And why isn't his clothes drenched in blood anymore?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, they watch, you can actually, it's one of the worst effects I've ever seen, because his shirt, like, it's just blood red. And it's like, okay, like, that was bad. It was real bad because, like, you guys even, like, make fake blood to put on this guy, whatever.
Sure.
But then to show it disappear tells you that, like, this is important. You need to realize that right now he's becoming supernatural. Okay, I'm going to buy into that. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to pretend it isn't just the worst special effects ever. I'm going to give into that. But then your four guys here with the guns don't react.
Yeah, not at all.
Don't even acknowledge it. Yeah. Don't even, like, oh, well, I bet he's going to be a demon now. Like, nothing. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
It was real bad. It was so bad.
And yeah, at that point, that was the point I realized, yeah, this is not going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, one of the redeeming qualities for films like this is, like, well, at least, like, somebody cared about special effects. And you usually, like, in low-budget horror films, you get some young people who want to experiment and work with special effects, and you end up with cool stuff. Like a lot of the low budget films that we all love and grew up on were just people who loved doing special effects. These people, like, must have no interest in special effects.
They just wanted to make none,
no effort, no love, nothing. There's nothing in this movie. Like, I couldn't find a character to get invested in. Like, I thought all the characters were horrible.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the time it's implied that the guy who's the killer or Halloween Jack or whatever, by the time they tell you that, like, Halloween Jack had an alibi and he was nowhere near where these murders happened, he was involved in the summer solstice or something with some druids or something down by the lake.
Yeah.
By that point, you've already hate Halloween Jack so much because you've been led to think that he's a killer who got away with stuff, and these people were justified. And it's like, oh yay, the bad guy that you can't like. But then it's like, oh no, you can like him because he is innocent. And it's like, no, it's too late in the film to introduce that to me.
Yeah.
And then the guy that the cop is interviewing, like the cop, I guess, just like kills him because he's a druid. Like, he didn't even have a reason to shoot him. The guy told him everything. He told him 20 times, like, stop pointing the gun at me. I'm no threat to you, this and that. And then he's so, like, not intimidated by it. He just walked up and he held the gun up to his chest. Like, go ahead. Like, I'm going to tell you the rest of what you want to know. And then the cop fucking shot him. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Like, I hate the cop. I hate everybody. I hate this fucking movie. You want to laugh? Before we go on any further.
That's great.
Because I'm scrolling over on IMDb. There's one review for this film. And I think we have enough time here in the podcast for me to read this entire review.
Do it.
The review is one star from December 31st, 2018. The headline is Trash, Trash, Trash. And it says, low budget, low quality, a total waste of time. They should not have this in Redbox. Wish I could get my money back.
Oh.
7 out of 11 people found this review helpful. This movie is awful. 7 people watched this film and was like, yes, that is a total waste of time. I wish I could get my time back. Because thankfully, we didn't spend money on this piece of shit. Which I like to support small budget films.
Sure.
And spend money on them. When I feel like the people who made them gave a fuck about the film they were making.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned that when you have a low budget, it's okay to have a low budget horror movie because some of our favorite movies were low budget. Guess what? Night of the Living Dead was a low budget movie.
Low budget.
You know, ten fucking guys pitching in $100 each, you know, and putting that towards a fucking movie and making such an iconic film that no horror fan, you know, alive does not know of this movie.
Right.
So it can be fucking done and can be done well with what you have to work with. I think they were drinking their budget away because
something,
you know, I'm thinking, okay, because you know, as the movie progresses slowly after, you know, he dies, he comes back and, you know, he starts taking out these, you know, people. Cause the one young kid, he goes out there all drunk where they had buried, you know, Jack, and he goes and puts a pistol to his fucking head.
Mm-hmm.
Poof, there's some red mist again. And he shoots himself in the fucking head. And, you know, so, the others, you know, I guess getting fucking worried, you know, that,
Like, Halloween Jack don't even look original until.
No,
like,
he don't.
Fucking character, they're killer. Like, 80 from, like, 7 other movies.
You know, right? Exactly. Yeah, so this is not entertaining at all. I'm glad that I was able, because again, it had potential. It had some if all of their fucking kills, I think, were fucking off screen.
Yeah.
You see this, you know, this bitch would scream. I think it was a bathroom scene, and she, you know, the close up, and she's like, ah. you know, and then you see him raise the fucking sickle, and then all of a sudden it's like, cue the fake blood in the fucking ketchup bottle, and action, squirted on the fucking wall, and then, you know, boom, it cut to another scene. You know, they didn't even show the bodies, you know, being mutilated, cut in half, sliced up, nothing. There was no practical effects at all. They probably spent this half their budget on those little fake-ass fucking CGI little mist poofs, and they couldn't do anything else.
Listen, I feel like this was like a European Union made-for-television Halloween film.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like if some, like maybe some British or Irish channel or somewhere over there in Europe, like they had a special, like this Halloween, the legend of Halloween Jack. Prepare yourselves as families gather around the television. And that's what you would get, right? Like you would get like, oh, it's like for public television, I guess. It's
like a made-for-TV horror movie. Yeah.
Yes.
What is this rated?
What, these stars up here?
15.
No, what is
15.
But what is it? On the Richter, is it R-rated?
On the Richter?
No, I don't even know why I said that.
No, it's not rated. Oh, there's no rating.
There shouldn't be.
Yeah, because there should be no viewers of this movie.
Because, you know, Dom, you made the whole comment that you, for the longest time, thought 2000s had shitty films. I said, then we've picked some really good ones, and... Haunted House, Hill House LLC, that kind of boosted it up. There's some more,
and then you get this. With this shit.
So then you're going with Hell House. You're going two steps forward and 10 steps back with this one.
Oh, that right.
Yes, and that's the thing. I think maybe what's formed my opinion is like it seems like the real low budget modern horror films are just like awful and unwatchable, where like low budget, like we talked about, like you said, Night of the Living Dead, like it turned out great. Like look at Toxic Avenger, there's a great example too. Like no one talks about anybody in Toxic Avenger's acting,
right?
You know what I'm saying? There wasn't one person in there who was a great actor or played a great performance or any. It was just the movie itself was just great.
It's
like all its goofiness, the bad acting, the everything is all comes together and makes it work.
Yeah.
This like bad acting, bad scripting, bad special effects, nothing works.
Yeah, bad.
Nothing works.
Nothing works.
Yeah.
At the top, I'm over here at the IMDb. Right where you were at too, where you got that review and
trash.
And then, I mean, that's an understatement. Up at the top, it shows you can watch a little trailer. Good luck with that one. 3.4 stars out of 10 is what this one gets. It don't even.
Shit, that's being generous.
That is being fucking. It's a hell of a lot more generous than what the fuck I'm gonna give it.
Oh, way more,
I don't know. If anybody has anything else they want to add to this shit soup of a movie.
No,
God. Horrible.
Good enough.
You know, I have to, it's like you have to give it something. We have to give it something, okay? It can be as low as you fucking want. I'm going to have to give it, so I'm going to give it, and this is, oh, man, I'm going to give it a half of skull.
Is that because of the name?
No, pretty much. Because, you know, the name kind of drew me in. I was like, that looks kind of cool. And then you see the cover of it. That looks kind of cool, too. And then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, God, this is going to hurt. This is going to fucking hurt real, real bad. So I'm giving it a half a fucking skull for whatever reason. Basically, the fucking name and the fact that it lied to me and gave me a really false impression of what this fucking movie is going to be about. And I was let the fuck down. So this movie can go fuck itself. Half a skull. Mrs. Dredds.
I would give it about the same.
A half a skull. So, all right, two votes and one to go. We got one full skull. Or do you want to take a half a skull away, Dom?
Can I do that? Can I take away half a skull, minus half skull? Because if not, I'm only giving this a quarter skull.
I almost did the same thing. I thought the same thing.
I was hoping Mrs. Dreadful was going through, so that way the overall would have been a 1 out of 15.
I honestly thought about it. Yeah. I thought about it for a minute, and I'm like,
And then you gave it the half skull, and I'm like, wow, that's a full skull. Now how can I rate it? And then you opened up that door. Would you like to take away half the skull? If I can, do that,
would you like to sell a skull?
Yes. I was worried that this was actually going to take like a half a skull off of Hell House. Like, that's how bad this is. I was like, this is going to take up so many points. My Hell House is now a 4 skull movie. Right. Like,
can we borrow from Hell House and
Right. If you put the Hell House trailer, if you watch the Hell House trailer at the end of this movie, it's a quarter skull movie.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Wow.
You watch the whole movie, and then you watch the Hell House trailer, and then you're like, okay, that's a quarter skull.
Exactly. There you go.
Or this is what entices you to see. This is what on your you're getting better previews in the actual movie.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Minute and a half preview of another movie is better than an hour and a half fucking movie.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, that one didn't do too well. I guess no better time like the present to wrap things up. So, I think the winner tonight was Hell House, right?
Yep.
Hell House winning out 13 skulls. Session 9
two
got
good ones.
10 yeah. skulls. And mine, of course, I got what? One and a quarter?
Unless you let him take it away. Let him take away a quarter skull. It gets 3/4 of a skull.
I shouldn't even let him vote. We can just keep it right at 1 out of 15.
I could give it 0. I would have given it 0.
So, thank you, Dom, for your time, my friend. I enjoyed it as always.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mrs. Dreadful.
You're welcome.
And hang on the line there, Dom. We will talk here in just a minute.
No one knows. We're going to die.